It's time now to go beyond the headlines. And for the next 2 hours, go where every sports fan wants to go. Behind the scenes and into the practice facilities, locker rooms, coaches' offices, and press boxes to get the info before anyone else. This is the ESPN 1320 Insiders.
All right. Guess we'll do a show. What a bummer, man. Remember last year this time was so fun? Hey, the Kings are figuring it out. The 49ers are good. The Raiders have fired a coach. And now we've got this. We have the 49ers losing consecutive games by a combined score of 73-20. We have the Sacramento Kings losing 7 of their last 9, falling 3 games below 500. They're starting Malik Monk now. They can't stop anybody from hitting threes.
Yeah, man.
We are down bad over here.
It's snowballing. It's snowballing on us.
Well, it was literally snowballing in Buffalo last night. 916-909-1320, 916-909-1320. That's the phone number. We want to hear from you today. How are we feeling? What's the vibe? I would like to know two things. With the 49ers specifically, I would like to know if there's anybody who's still like, hey, they're still in playoff contention. You went out and have a couple things go right. You're right there in the postseason. Is there anyone that is actually there? I would love to know.
I hope there's not.
And if there is, I need to know what you do in life that allows you to be that way. Because I got to tell you, I am not that way. And then with Kings fans, I was pretty shocked last night. I saw Blow It Up Talk on the internet. And the internet, and specifically my corner of the internet, is a very small fraction of the Kings fan base, which is why I would like to hear from people listening to this program at 916-909-1320. We'll fix that in post. 916-909-1320, 916-909-1320. It's the Elk Grove Kia Talk line. Is that where we're at? Is that where this thing is?
We're dangerously close to this thing spinning out completely.
Feels like.
Yeah, very, very close. And it's not getting any easier, Kyle. The Houston Rockets are absolutely dominating right now. They are playing very, very good basketball.
Half game out of the one seed.
Yeah, and that's who rolls into Sacramento on Tuesday. I just don't get it. I don't. You know, we try to be like even kill here, right?
We do our best.
We do. We try not to be too high and too low. We have some reactionary moments, but when you have a team that does have a ton of talent, like the Sacramento Kings, and then you have a fan base that's amazing, and that team goes out in front of their home fan base and goes 4-7 at home to start the season.
4-7!
Kyle, that's just absolutely unacceptable.
And it's not like a gauntlet schedule.
No.
It's not like, man, they've had OKC and Boston and Cleveland. Hey, what are you going to do?
No. The problem is that those teams are going to roll through Sacramento, and you're going to take losses to those teams. And when you start out 4-7 at home, I just don't get it. Like 5-5 on the road, 4-7 at home. It's just unacceptable. Like just straight up. Like, man, your family's sitting in there, sitting in the crowd. I don't get it. And
they have a... Here's the thing, like watching the last few games, I don't think it's an effort problem, which is a bigger issue here. They have the same problems. We're going to hear from Malik Monk here in a bit. And this Malik Monk press conference that we're going to listen to could have been from last year.
Mm-hmm.
They have the same fundamental problems that they had a season ago. And that's where you know, we're doing the blame game, which is fine. 9-12 after 21 games when you expected to win 50 and be in the playoffs is a fine time to start pointing fingers. That's why, to me, I see people in the chatty house, you know, is it time to fire Mike Brown yet? Is this on Mike Brown? Okay, maybe. But at the same time, this is a front office problem first. They're not making threes right now, which is an issue.
Yeah.
They're not shooting enough threes, which may be a coaching thing. But they gave up too many threes last year, and they do the same thing this year. because we can talk about the offense all we want, and we'll talk about Keegan Murray, who is a whole separate conversation. But right now, the Kings don't make enough threes. They give up too many threes, and that to me is the crux of what plagues them so far this year. And there's, again, fully acknowledging there are 100 other things, and we will talk about those other things. But when you look at game in and game out, hey, what's the same thing we talk about every week?
Three-point shots. Three-point defense.
They're being outscored by 15-plus every game. They have had four games this year where they have outscored the opponent from the three-point line.
I think last
And they've
night,
lost two of them.
It was, they got outscored 69-36 from three.
Come on, dude.
They got outscored by 33 points.
33 points, dog.
Kyle, there's no way to recover from that. I will tell you this. Points in the paint. The Kings dominated.
Yeah.
Dominated. Fast break points. Kings dominated. Second chance points. Dominated. Points off turnovers. Dominated.
Come on.
Absolutely crushed the Spurs. You lost one real statistical category last night. You had five more made field goals than they did.
You shot 19 more field goals than they did. And you made five more. And you lost?
Yes.
Dog. That's what? And that's where, you know, that's where I'm stuck. Like they started Malik Monk last night. So everybody's wanting to see.
Yeah.
All right. Malik Monk started offense 42 points in the first quarter. Just cook it. And then they have defensive issues that come with it. And they have defensive issues throughout the game. And I think their defensive issues are not scheme related, and that's why I'm not pointing the finger at Mike Brown. At least not yet.
Yeah, I mean,
they just don't have the dudes.
I guess, but like, okay, let's look at the fourth quarter. They're up 42-25, right? They're 42-25. Isaac Jones has a dunk with 3 seconds left. Then they give up a what is it? Tyus Jones is there? No.
Trey Jones.
They gave up a Trey Jones 40-foot three-point floater.
His only three-point make of the night, by the way.
That's what they give up. But like, you didn't even put a hand in the guy's face. Yeah. So instead of going into the second quarter up 17,
yeah,
you go in up 14, which you're still up a ton.
Right. You feel good about it.
You feel great about it. But mm-hmm. still, it's those little moments, those little letdowns that have plagued this team
mm-hmm.
and are really what will be written on the gravestone if they don't figure it out.
That's it.
This is it. Like, if you don't figure out how to not foul a guy with like with 1.2 seconds left on the shot on the mm-hmm. on the halftime clock in the backcourt, like
insane.
what are you doing? You put a guy at the line to give him two free points?
The Trey Jones half court shot, I legitimately thought I missed something.
Mm.
The way he walked into it, I went, oh, that must have been way after the buzzer.
Yeah.
And it was not. They put the points on the board. It was very, very much not after the buzzer. But yeah. That was how they defended it. It was like the horn had sounded. They went, all right. But he got to walk into it. And I mean, half court shots aren't like easy. But when you walk into it and you're an NBA player.
Yeah.
You're going to have a decent shot, and he knocks it down. And like you said, it's just those are the little things that accumulate over the course of a game that allow you to smoke a 14-point lead to a team that, I mean, the Spurs have a better record than the Kings, but I wouldn't call the Spurs some elite team.
Oh, no. No, the Spurs aren't great. It was the end of the third quarter, my bad, where Keon Ellis fouled Jones again.
Yeah.
Yeah. 1.6 seconds left in the backcourt. You foul a guy because you got upset about the previous call.
I'm. It's not great, man.
Yeah.
And the urgency that was reflected last year or after last year, where they won 46 games,
mm-hmm.
gives me reason for concern after a slow start to this year after 21 games.
Well, I'll tell you the biggest thing that you can just point to and say, okay, there's reason for concern. Mike Brown has spent the last 2+ years telling everybody that he loves Malik Monk as a sixth man mm-hmm. because that's how you build a team.
Yep.
Because you Mike said it last week. You never put your five best guys out on the court to start the game.
Mm-hmm.
Because if that doesn't go well, where do you go from there?
Yeah.
You just already put the five best guys out there.
Mm-hmm.
Well, last night, he put the five best guys out there. Malik Monk had played 162 games for the Sacramento Kings mm-hmm. without starting once. And now he's your starting shooting guard. And once you hit that button, there's no going back. It's
yeah, Malik's
it.
The starter now.
Kyle, that's it. Malik is your starter now.
Yep.
And so that was the last bullet Mike Brown had to try to get this team over the hump.
It worked for 12 minutes.
Eight.
Which was the concern.
Where do you go now?
Right. That was the concern is, okay, great. Your first 12 minutes might look awesome.
Yep.
But what's the rotation look like after that? Isaac Jones had the game of his life. Scores 12 points. He's your leading scorer off the bench. Your rotation is 9 dudes deep, and it features Colby Jones, who has done more in Stockton than he has in Sacramento this year, and Isaac Jones, who is an undrafted rookie who was at a junior college, what, 3-4 years ago?
Yep.
That's where we're at? And that's fine. Like, if that being two significant players in your rotation off the bench is fine if you're the Jazz.
Yeah.
And that points to kind of where Sacramento is right now. They're your starting five / closing five, same five, are awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody knows it. But you can't be five guys deep in the NBA. Pause. It just doesn't. That doesn't play. If the Kings were playing against the Kings, we would go in going, yeah, their first five are fine, but like after that, they're nothing to write home about.
No.
And even their first five. DeMar DeRozan, 28 points last night on 10 of 20. Okay, great. That's an efficient 28-point night from him. Although we can, I have a small gripe about the idea of exchanging 3 for 2 because you're working for mid-range shots, but that can be later. 28 points for DeMar DeRozan. Good night. 5 boards, 8 assists, 3 steals.
He had 18 in the first half, didn't score again until the fourth quarter where he put up 10. No, 16 in the first half.
Domas, 25, 13, and 6. 10 offensive boards. Good night.
Yep.
Good night. De'Aaron, not his best night. 9 of 23, he had 23 points, 6 boards, 9 assists. 3 of 8 from 3. Not the best game, but you feel okay about that outing from De'Aaron.
9 assists and 6 rebounds.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. That's a good night.
I'll take that.
Yep.
Malik, starting debut, 19-7-6. Had a steal, had a block. Shot 5 of 10 from 3. The rest of the team shot 7 of 22 from 3. Not great. And then there's Keegan, who led the team in minutes played at 38. He goes 4 of 9 from the field, 0 of 2 from 3, 6 boards, no assists, a steal, a block. He scores 8 points. He was a -4. And that's where we go, okay, the starting five has been great. And it's like, has it? Statistically, yeah. But it's not five dudes where it's like, man, that's five dominant players. It's Domas and Fox and DeRozan and Keegan's over there too.
Mm-hmm.
Which is suboptimal for me. I was expecting some kind of jump from Keegan. I was expecting some kind of leap from Keegan. And we're not seeing it. At least not in the ways that he needs to take a leap. Is he rebounding more effectively? Sure. But like, dude, you got to put the ball in the hoop. Specifically from beyond the arc.
No, I mean, that's the end of it right there. Like, at what point... Like, we've had this conversation before, and we started going over, like, the advanced numbers on Keegan Murray.
Yeah.
And I hear these murmurs from people around the team that, oh, Keegan's doing too much. Oh, he's working too hard to get a shot. Oh, you know, he's missing his threes because he's been running around. Okay, look, Keegan's playing really good defense. Like last night he had 2 incredible stops at the rim late mm-hmm. in the game, right?
Yep.
He's not playing defense that's like so stunning that everyone in the league is talking about Keegan Murray as like the best defensive small forward or power forward in the league.
Hey, he's a very good defender.
He's a good defender, but he's not like only playing defense and that's his only job. My problem is that like, what exactly, I'm not seeing him doing the DHO off the dribble handoff off the, you know, the Domantas Sabonis screen at the top. That's gone.
I feel like that aspect of their offense that was so deadly is just gone.
Oh, no, that's gone completely. And there's reasons for it, but like I start going through some of the advanced statistics on his shooting stats from NBA.com. Very tight coverage, 0 to 2 feet. Keegan Murray hasn't taken a shot this season with tight coverage.
He has not taken a contested three all year.
A contested three all year.
Okay.
2 to 4 feet, tight defense. Only 1.7 of his total shot point shot attempts, 1.7 from three from overall shot attempts are from with a defender 2 to 4 feet, and he's shooting 25% on those. Here's where it gets crazy.
1.7%.
Only 1.7% of his overall shots come with a man 2 to 4 feet from behind the arc.
Okay.
Open threes, 4 to 6 feet. 18.3% of his shots are open.
And he should be knocking those down at a very high clip.
He's shooting 18.2%.
He's shooting a worse percentage than the percentage of his shots that those are?
Yes.
Oh, my God.
Well, it's 18.3 frequency versus 18.2%.
Oh, my God.
And then wide open feet, wide open threes. No one within 6 feet of him. 28.6% of his overall shot attempts are wide open threes. He's shooting 33.3%.
Which I bet is way below league average for somebody that came into the year shooting, what was he, 37% for his career?
Yeah.
Coming into the season?
Something like that.
I'm guessing 33%. I'm guessing players who shoot 37% from three on wide open threes shoot something like 45%.
Yeah.
And he's shooting 33%.
Yep. Okay, so Kyle, let me hit the other thing is, like, he's not creating for himself on these threes. So all of these open and wide open threes, just so people know, zero dribbles.
Straight catch and shoot.
44.8% of his overall shot attempts, including almost all of his three-point attempts, are straight up zero dribble catch and shoot.
Wow.
Zero dribble, wide open catch and shoot. Or zero dribble, open catch and shoot. The next highest frequency, 2.5% of his three-point attempts are one dribble.
Ugh.
Kyle, he has two dribbles, 0.8%, 3 to 6 dribbles, 0.4%.
He's not creating for himself at all.
He's not creating for himself. And that's okay.
Mm-hmm.
We're not dogging on him for not creating for himself.
Right.
What I'm saying is that all of his shots are catch and shoot, and they're either open or wide open.
Like, he should be shooting 47% from three.
It's shocking. Zero dribble threes. He's shooting 28.7%. One dribble, just put the ball on the ground to get a rhythm. 16.7%. He's hitting. So I don't know what to say. Like, at some point, if you're a coach who literally has done nothing but tell this kid, please, Keegan Murray, shoot the ball.
Mm-hmm.
Shoot, shoot, shoot. And then you get into a game last night and the shots aren't falling. And not only that, but what's he end up with? Two 3-point attempts? Yeah, he goes 0 for 2.
Like, that's just, you can't have that. Like, that was supposed to be a fundamental piece of their offense was, hey, we talked about it all year. Keegan shot 35% from three last year, but he was 41.1% as a rookie, so there's an ascension to the mean coming. Watch out. Keegan's going to hit a ton of threes this year. He's going to have open looks because defense is collapsing DeMar on De'Aaron and Domas, and Keegan's going to have all these open looks. He should shoot 8 or 9 a game and shoot 40-plus percent, and man, it's going to be unstoppable. And now he won't even take them?
No.
What? What are we doing here?
I don't know, man.
I don't, and this is not, and I want to be clear, when I say what are we doing here, I genuinely don't know, because I'm not in the, oh man, Keegan stinks now, he's got to go. But whatever they're doing offensively is just not, he doesn't fit. And that's a tough pill to swallow for me.
Yeah, I don't know where to go with him either. And like, look, I'm not saying Keegan Murray's a bad player, and heaven forbid, I'm not telling anyone that the reason why the Kings are where they are in the standing is because of Keegan Murray. This is a problem, yeah, though. It is a symptom that you have to figure out what the problem, what the underlining like issue is here.
Right.
What something is wrong,
mm-hmm,
and what it's doing is it's making a player that's typically like everyone thought was on the rise, and just like wiping out who he is.
Mm-hmm.
Like he's not the same player, and you got to figure out what that is. And you know, I think the first thing is like, okay, well, you did go out and you brought in a guy who's just a straight bucket and DeMar DeRozan, right?
Cool.
And so you think, okay, he's going to have less opportunity. And sure, his shooting attempts are down. I'm going to assume they're down a little bit per game over his previous 2 years.
He is down 1.2 shots per game from last year.
Okay, but that's not enough to change the entire trajectory of you as a player.
No.
Where you went from being an elite three-point shooter as a rookie to 27.4% or whatever he's shooting now from three.
Yeah.
Like, that's not the way it goes.
Doesn't make any sense.
I hear people go, oh, well, his month of December last year was bad too. It's like, okay, you're right. He shot 38.8% from three from the field and 26.2% from three. So there is a possibility that he's just a slow starter. Okay. We see this in baseball all the time.
I saw this as well. So I went and did some number crunching.
Yep.
Through 21 games last year. He missed a few, so it was like 25 games for the Kings, but 21 for Keegan. We're in mid-December last year when he got to his 21st game. He was 16 points, 5.7 rebounds, 1.9 assists, shooting 44.7% from the field, 36.7% from three, and 86% from the free throw line. This year through 21 games, 12.2 points, 7.8 boards, 1.6 assists on 41.5%, so 3.2 points worse from the field, 27.4% from three, about 9 points worse from three, and 82.8% from the line, about 3 points worse from the line. I don't think this is Keegan's a slow starter. Like, well, then he's getting slower.
Yeah.
And I'm with you. I don't think Keegan is bad now. But I do wonder what happened that led to this. Because I don't think it's a matter of, oh, well, he started slow and now he's in his head and so he's just not shooting. I don't think it's that. I don't buy, oh, he's tired. I don't buy that anymore. After he was playing all those minutes, they had the 3 days off. I was like, okay, I'm expecting a big night. And we just haven't gotten one. It's gotten worse.
Well, that, Kyle, and the other thing is we said, okay, look, it's understandable he's getting less opportunity because you brought in a player like DeMar DeRozan. And so, of course, there's going to be less shots. There's going to be less opportunity. Well, we just went through a stretch where Malik Monk, DeMar DeRozan, and DeMontis Sabonis all missed games. And you had one game where he had 21 points, where Keegan had 21 points. The rest of them are the exact same thing we've seen every other night. And yeah, it's just hit and miss. You don't know if he's going to have 6 points or 8 points or 14 points. You don't know.
Mm-hmm.
And when you can't write something in pen for a player, that's when things get shaky.
When I'm confidently slamming the less on Prize Picks.
Yeah.
For Keegan Murray points, that's when you know it's bad.
Yeah. No, it's
and that's like I know that sounds trivial, but that's where it's at with Keegan.
Well,
I don't have any faith on a nightly basis that he's going to go out and give me what'd we say that he averaged 15.2 last year.
Yeah.
Are you confidently going into any game over the next month going, yeah, Keegan will give you 15 in that one? Like, I don't know if it's a mental thing. I don't know if it's a, hey, I have to take a back seat to Domas and De'Aaron and Malik and DeMar, and I'm missing my shots and I just don't want to mess anything up.
Yeah.
Maybe it's that, and if it is, then there's an issue here. Because you're 24 years old, you're in year three. Figure it out. Like, you have to learn to coexist with other good players.
Well, that and
it's part of it.
I hate to tell everybody this, Keegan Murray is now your fifth option on offense.
Like, by a lot.
By a lot. Because Malik Monk just moved into starting lineup.
Mm-hmm.
And so the trickle-down effect is that. What I need to see, I think Mike Brown did, he tried to figure this out last night. He had De'Aaron Fox and Keegan Murray as his primary two scorers in the game off the like when they went to a second unit.
Okay.
Right? So in the rotation, it was those guys with Isaac Jones, Jay Crowder, maybe Colby Jones.
Very obvious that those are your two guys.
Yes, yes. And, like, I feel bad saying this, but, like, the Colby Jones experiment, it has to stop now. Like, I don't, there's
just not an effective player.
Well, there's no way he can't just try to, you can't try to develop him right now with the parent club.
Nope.
Like, whatever's happening with him, he's a good kid. He's got a good skill set. It's not working. He's like a negative 55 over his last six games.
His timeline doesn't match with Sacramento's. Sacramento is like now, like they need to figure it out today.
Well, that, and if Mike Brown is going to go with Isaac Jones.
Uh-huh.
Then
what a good game last night.
He can't do Isaac Jones and Colby Jones at the same time.
Yep.
But he doesn't really have another option. Like, you keep going up against teams with big guards and you don't have the necessary players to do that. Mm-hmm. And I get it, Devin Carter isn't playing, and maybe he gives you a little bit more versatility. He's not a big guard either, but he at least would give you more versatility, his length.
Yeah, you know.
His wingspan's bigger than Kevin Herter's wingspan. And so there's a possibility. But at the same time, like, what is the out here? How do you get better? And I don't know what the answer is. And it's really difficult because schematically, yes, you have to do something different defending the three. But you also have to expect more from players like Keegan. That's like, if you're going to put all your eggs in this bucket and you're going to, like, say he's untouchable for the last 3 years, like, this is a very difficult situation, and I don't know how you get through it, but yeah. Everybody there needs to be pulling the same way. And are we adding fuel to the fire by talking about it? Yeah, but, like, it would be irresponsible if we're not. Like, at some point, players have to actually perform on the court.
Yeah, like, that's the point of the sport. The players are the guys who are going to affect the games.
Yeah,
the most. You have to execute. You have to have the right skill set. You can't just throw bad players out there and go, yeah, or I should say, again, in the context of NBA.
Yep.
Colby Jones would beat the average person with his left hand and wearing flip-flops mm-hmm. by 21 in a game to 21.
Yep.
But in terms of NBA players, like, it's just not, he's not there yet.
No, he's not there yet, and he might get there someday.
And the Kings can't afford to let him figure it out here.
Well, no, because you're falling behind with every single game. You're now 9-12.
Yep.
And when you come out of a game and you got a guy with 28, a guy with 25, a guy with 23, and a guy with 19, and all of them have tons of stats besides that, 9 assists, 6 assists, 6 assists, 8 assists from that group of players, 6 rebounds, 7 rebounds, 13 rebounds, 5 rebounds from that group of players, and then the rest of the group is not being able to support that,
mm-hmm.
that's about roster construction.
Yep.
And it's about, there are some scheme things that have to change here,
mm-hmm.
but overall, you got to figure this thing out right now.
Yep. That's it. We've got a silver lining though for the Kings. We'll get to that. We'll have some Jiffy Lube gift cards to give away, or gift certificates for you to give away. And we're going to shift gears and talk some 49ers, which is somehow worse than where the Kings are at. It's great. 916-909-1320, 916-909-1320. If you'd like to join the program, we would love to hear from you. We don't have a call screener, so when you call, we're just gonna put you on the line, and we'll turn the phone up when we're ready to go to you. So have some patience. If it rings, let it ring or call back, and we'll get to as many people as we can today on the Elk Grove Kia Talk Line at 916-909-1320. That's James Hamm. I'm Kyle Madsen. We're the Insiders. We're sponsored by Jiffy Lube, and we're going to talk about Jiffy Lube here in a second on ESPN 1320 at Sacramento Sports Center.
Now, back to the Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen, brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
What's funny?
I'm not going to pull it up on the screen because it's inappropriate.
Thank you. Oh, okay.
But someone in the chat named Special Ed has an opinion on what Keegan Murray needs.
Oh. Oh, my goodness. All right.
Oh, my goodness, Special Ed.
We're gonna skip that. 916-909-1320. It's the Elk Grove Kia Talk Line. We're talking Kings. We're going to talk 49ers here in a bit because, man, you think the Kings are a mess. The 49ers are in a different layer of hell than the Sacramento Kings are, and we'll talk about that in a bit. But first, we have to get to our guy, Don, on the Elk Grove Kia talk line. Don, you are live on the Insiders. What's up? Hey, Don. Aaron?
Yep, I'm here.
Hey, what's going on, man? You're on the Insiders.
Man, how you guys doing? Appreciate you taking my call.
Yeah, thank you.
I got a question for James.
I'm listening.
Hey, if you're the Sacramento Kings GM, are you paying Keegan Murray?
Good question. Thanks, Aaron. Appreciate it.
I'm paying him.
We were going to get there.
Yeah, that's
we're
it's on the list.
The convo.
I'm paying
that's fine.
Him.
We can avoid talking about the 49ers for as long as we need.
Okay. But what does Kenny like to say? Today's price is not yesterday. Yesterday's price is not today's price.
Yes.
Yeah, but this is in a different way.
But the opposite way.
Yeah, so, I mean, like, look, there was a point early in the season and all of last season where I thought, oh, he's a max money rookie scale guy. But at this point, I'm paying him for sure because he's still a really valuable player.
Mm-hmm.
That's not what I'm saying. It's not what Kyle and I have been, like, diving into. The problem isn't whether he's a good player or not. It's how do you fix what's going wrong right
exactly.
now.
Exactly.
I mean, that's the problem. You're trying to figure it out. But, no, I mean, we're getting to a point where he's going from, you know, an elite top four pick that's going to get a maximum scale rookie contract extension to somebody who's looking at more like the Cam Johnson, 20 to yeah. 22 million, maybe the Kyle Kuzma, 24 to 25 million range. That's a big difference. And I'd even say like the Buddy Hield range, the 4-year, $86 million deal,
yeah.
the Harrison Barnes, 4-year, $85 million deal. That's where you're heading. If he doesn't have a sharp turnaround and, like, I haven't lost faith in who Keegan Murray is as a player, or I'm also not advocating for trading Keegan Murray. I think there is a point where he is no longer untouchable because if you're going to do what's right for everybody on the team,
mm-hmm.
that means that you have to improve the roster. And one of the easiest ways to improve the roster is to throw draft picks in on a trade with Kevin Herter and maybe Trey Lyles and get up to $25 million bucks
sure.
and some draft picks and go get a player around that price.
Mm-hmm.
Right. But one of the other options is to look at everything. And that means December 15th, you start looking at whether DeMar DeRozan is a long-term fix for your team and whether he becomes available. You have to look at Keegan Murray and his contract and his value on the open market and say, okay, is this our best way to improve? And I certainly would never advocate for trading Keegan Murray because I think what you have to do is invest more time figuring out what happened here.
I would agree.
And fixing it.
Yeah, he's not like, if you're not going to give a player a rookie extension, that means they're like unplayable. Like they're bad.
Okay, but let me clarify though, because you can go into this summer, you have the option of extending him this summer, of offering
right.
him an extension.
Right.
If you don't come to an agreement or his, you know, he's not comfortable with what you're offering or
mm-hmm.
whatever, you have another year where he plays out under his rookie scale deal.
Right.
Right, his final year of his contract.
So Jonathan Kuminga is doing with the Warriors right now.
During that summer, the next summer, you also have the opportunity to extend him.
Mm-hmm.
And if not, if you extend a qualifying offer, which for Keegan would be like 13 or 14 million, then he has to play out a fifth year. And after his fifth year, he would be an unrestricted free agent.
Mm-hmm.
But you would still have his Larry Bird rights and can pay him more than anyone.
Mm-hmm.
So again, my point is that like the immediacy of like, do you have to extend him this summer? No. And it might work out that he has, that this continues the whole season and you're left wondering what in the hell you have
mm-hmm.
in Keegan Murray and you're not comfortable offering him a massive extension and his people aren't comfortable because they think whatever's happened here is either your fault or someone else's fault and
mm-hmm.
they want to wait it out. Okay, all of those are possibilities here. But as of right now, he went from being like a 30 plus million dollar a year player
mm-hmm.
to more like a 20 to 25 million dollar player very quickly. And
there's also 61 games left.
Yes.
Maybe he winds up averaging 16 a night this year and he shoots 35 36% from three and goes on a tear. And we're talking about a different player. But through 21 games, it looks like there's some fundamental issue with what the Kings are doing and Keegan Murray not fitting what they're doing. And if that's a Keegan Murray specific problem, like he's like, hey man, I'm taking a back seat. I'm not the kind of player who's gonna go take shots from Malik Monk and De'Aaron Fox and Domantas Sabonis and DeMar DeRozan. I'm like, ah, all right. Then maybe you feel differently about him and his long term projection as a player, but I they have 60 plus games to figure that out, and then like you said, another couple of seasons before they really the rubber meets the road with Keegan. But I think coming out of last year, I was pretty confident. Like, man, that's a max rookie extension player.
Yep,
he is 15 plus a night. He's on the right trajectory. He got better defensively, which is really what you needed from him. Didn't have his best year as a 3-point shooter, but you're seeing the growth in his game, and we're not seeing the same thing this year.
No, I totally agree.
Flatlined to fallen off. Yep. And for a 24 now?
Yeah.
Turning 24? And for a 24-year-old, that's a little scary. And that's why if you're asking me right now, are you giving him a max rookie extension? It's like, no. But they don't have to make that decision right now.
No.
But I'm more concerned today than I was 6-7 weeks ago.
Well, you're concerned because, like, he's in a funk. Something's wrong. Mm-hmm. And, like, it is on everybody, not just Keegan Murray, to figure it out. Part of it is Keegan has to do the work himself, right? Mm-hmm. And the thing is, he's a hard worker. It's not like he's not doing the work. So there's something that's missing here. And, you know, someone in the chat brought up that Jade McDaniel signed an extension, $23 million, $24.8 million, $26.2 million, $28.5 million, and $30.3 million. That's probably more in line with what Keegan is looking at this point. He is not looking at the 30 plus.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, that's fine. That's a dynamic that happens in the league all the time. The Kings would not shy away from offering Keegan an extension. It's just how much is the money going to be?
Right.
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 And that's going to change.
Yeah. Is he still untouchable in trades?
I don't know. It depends on what your sense of urgency is. Can you wait it out? I mean, man. Mike Brown talked about this with Isaac Jones last night. Like, Isaac Jones has to, when he gets on the court, he needs to be the player that he was last night, right? And that's it. Like, if you're going to get an opportunity as an undrafted two-way player, it's all in. You better go out there and, like, we're not talking the 100%. Like, you got to find whatever's above 100%, which I don't know if that's possible because I don't... 100% is the most possible, but you need to figure out if there's more than that in the tank, and you at least have to play at 100% breakneck speed the entire time. What you can't do is go out there and pick up four fouls really quickly and put your team in the bonus with 10 minutes left in the fourth quarter.
Man.
So there's all of these things that you've got to work with, but I need to see the energy. I need to see the effort. I need to see the dunk putbacks and a guy who's sitting there waving at every single layup that's coming in. He's doing everything he can do, but you also have to look at that and say, can he continue that? Can he consistently bring that every night?
Because yes, that's the key.
And that's where Mike Brown was very clear, like, hey, look, I love what Isaac Jones is doing. That doesn't mean he's going to get an opportunity every single night. It also doesn't mean that he's going to stay in the rotation long term. I would love to see him do that, but he has to clear a bunch of hurdles in order to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And he's on a much tighter leash than anyone else. That's not who Keegan Murray is. Keegan Murray's still playing 38, 39, 40 minutes a night. Like,
led the team in minutes played last night.
Yeah. It went 0 for 2 from 3.
2 3-point attempts in 38 minutes.
It's not that he didn't hit a three. It said he only took two.
That's insane.
And I love the dunks, man. The dunks were incredible.
Amazing.
Hammering a ball down on Victor Wembanyama, yes. Like, that is showing a sign of growth. But, like, De'Aaron Fox has to shoot threes. Domantas Sabonis is not a natural three-point shooter. He has to shoot threes. And part of the reason is because some of the other guys just aren't taking what they're supposed to do. Like,
Keegan took replacing Harrison Barnes literally.
I've heard that a lot on the interwebs.
That's tough. Harrison Barnes last night, literally 8-7-2. Keegan 8-6-0.
Yeah.
Barnes went 3 of 8. Murray went 4 of 9. Like, dog. You just, the good, I don't know. I don't know if it's good news or bad news that, forgive me for bringing up this name, but I promise it's going somewhere. Draymond Green said this about, not explicitly about James Wiseman, but he was talking about James Wiseman. How you'd rather have to, like, wind a player, like, back, a young player back, than have to, like, get them up for their role, for a game, whatever it is. You'd rather have to scale back their energy than try and scale it up.
Yeah, Paul Westphal used to say it's easier to try to tame a fire than to light a fire under somebody.
Yes.
And, of course, he was talking about DeMarcus Cousins and then realized that it was a 4-alarm fire and the house was burning
fire,
down.
Wrong fire. Yeah. wrong type of fire.
Yeah, there was no taming that fire.
But that's kind of what I worry about with Keegan. Is this just him? Is this just his? And I hate the personality thing. I don't want to go there, because how a person conveys themselves publicly, it just doesn't. I don't care. He doesn't show emotion. I don't care. I don't give a rip.
Mm-hmm.
Neither does Kawhi Leonard. I don't care about personality. I don't care about any of that. It's like the play style, the playing personality.
Yeah.
And is it gonna be this constant? Hey, like, if you're having to constantly be like, dude, you got to get it going. We're on year three of this.
Mm-hmm.
Where it's, dude, I need more from him.
It's like 180 games in.
Yeah, that's a worry for me. And it's ebbed and flowed. And, oh, hey, look, he had 47 against the Jazz and then 25 the next night. And, oh, hey, here he comes. And then, oh, no, there's 7 points the next night. And then 10. And that consistency, like you talk about it with Isaac Jones, and again, Isaac Jones and Keegan Murray in very different places, but with Keegan Murray, it's that finding that consistency,
mm-hmm.
and the fact that the most consistent thing about him this year has been how passive he is a little bit of an issue. And Kenny and I talked about this a lot last year. It's like, dude, It's not that I think Keegan's bad. I think he's really good and I want to see more from him, but we're just not getting more. And there's been opportunities for it this year and we're still not seeing it.
Yeah. And then I will kick back a little bit. I will say, oh, sure. All of a sudden he's averaging some 7.8 rebounds per game.
Yeah.
Like, he's gotten better in certain aspects. He bulked up so he could defend bigger guys. I'll say, like, this isn't making an excuse for Keegan. But every single year, the Kings have asked him to be something different.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't know what he was going to be as a rookie, but they did know he was going to start and play every game after the first game where they started KZ Akpala. he started 81 games that year, I believe, and I don't think he was right there, right? Mm-hmm. Year two, you asked him to be something completely different. He became this, like, all-world defender, which he was not before.
No doubt. Like,
he was solid as a rookie, league average defender. He takes this leap in year two. All of a sudden, his athleticism is better. His lateral quickness is better. He's able to defend everybody.
Mm-hmm.
That's what you made him into in year two. Year three, you're like, hey, we just signed DeMar DeRozan. We're going to need you to play the four, so I need you to bulk up, get stronger. We're going to need you to rebound because we don't have any rebounders outside of Domantas Sabonis. And so you're asking him to be a different player than he was the year before. And so I don't know what to make of this, because the one thing that you could have done, like putting Keon Ellis in the starting lineup, we all like gloss over the fact that Keon Ellis lost his job again last night and it went to Malik Monk. But what that does is, once again, Keegan Murray becomes your best defender with the starting unit, and mm-hmm. he now has to defend whoever the best player is on the other team. Mm-hmm. And so you keep asking more and more and more from him on one side of the ball. So I do get that. But when you're not asking him to do a whole bunch on the offensive side of the ball, and it's like, hey, I need you to shoot threes.
That's it.
This does not look like fatigue to me. There was a point where he ran out of gas,
mm-hmm.
and then you had a 3-day break. This looks like there's something going on where you need to do some big-time work on somebody's psyche.
Yep.
And get him back in the right frame of mind.
If you can't play defense at a high level and then also knock down some threes, then we need to recalibrate the conversation on what Keegan Murray is for this team moving forward. Like that. That's just the long and short of it.
Yeah.
but I'm not there yet where I think he's bad now. But like you said, there's something going on. And whether they figure it out is, I think, going to determine a lot of their season and certainly a lot of Keegan Murray's long-term trajectory.
Yeah. I did not think this was the conversation we were going to be having. I was thinking that the conversation we would be having is that he wasn't taking enough shots because he became the fourth, fifth man in the starting lineup.
Yeah, like we were sitting here and going, man, he's shooting 39%, but he's only shooting 4 threes a night.
Yeah, I need like 2 more shot attempts from you, man. And next thing you know, you'll be at 19 or 20 a game.
Yep.
That's where I thought we would be. Mm-hmm. And now it's like, we're well past that.
He's averaging, points-wise, what he was averaging as a rookie on 2 more shots a game. Not great.
Not great at all.
That's called regression, and we don't love that. 916-909-1320, 916-909-1320 is the Elk Grove Kia talk line. Don, you're on the Insiders. What's going on?
Hey, what's going on, guys? This is Charismatic Enigma.
What's up, Matt?
No talk. It's been a little busy for me. But anyways, I just wanted to chat on these Kings for a second. I think something I'm noticing a little bit of, and this kind of goes back to last year too, I think, is that we've all been searching for an identity of this team, right? Like, are they this defensive stopping team that Mike Brown wants them to be? Are they a high-flying pace offensive team? Are they a three-point shooting team? Are they a driving kick team? Like, what are they? I basically is what we've been trying to figure out for, it seems like, 2, almost 3 seasons. And it feels like we just keep moving the goalposts, or maybe Monty or Mike does, you know, like, at some point, you just have to pick a lane, and you sort of have to stick with it, in my opinion. You know, like, if you're going to start Kevin, and let's be this high-paced offense. If you're going to start Keon, and let's be this defensive team. But pick an identity and stick with it.
Yeah.
I think it's as simple as that.
No doubt. Thanks, Matt. Appreciate the call. And it looks like they've picked that identity by putting Malik Monk in the starting lineup.
Well, that and, like, I mean, that's the problem that we have, right? We're going to bring this up at a different point, but I think it fits into this conversation right here. There was a point this offseason where Jay Crowder came in and worked out for the Kings for the better part of a week and connected with young players and was part of the pre-training camp buildup. They didn't sign him, right? This is a tough guy, a defensive-minded guy. Like, we still don't know at this point whether Jay Crowder has like a ton left in the tank. Like, he's played a couple of good games here. He's also been quiet for a couple of games. But there's a personality and a mindset to Jay Crowder that, like, everybody in the league knows, right? And the Kings didn't sign him. And then when they got to the end of training camp and they had a roster spot open, you know, they had 1 preseason game left, right?
Mm-hmm.
And instead of signing Jay Crowder or... who was the group? JTA, Juan Toscano-Anderson came in. Lonnie Walker came in. They had this group of players.
Not CJ Watson.
I don't know
why that name came to mind.
Tony Bradley.
Thank you.
Yeah, they had Tony Bradley come. Instead of signing one of those guys, right at the last second, they went out and signed another offensive player in Doug McDermott. Doug McDermott wasn't part of those groups that came in for workouts. He wasn't part of any of that. And then you just sign him. And this isn't like an accusation on Doug McDermott. Like, I think you need more three-point shooting. I think every team needs more three-point shooting. But there's a moment where you could have signed a Jay Crowder before the season started and given him an opportunity to build and work with this group and be your third or fourth forward. And you didn't do it. And then you do it 20-something games in, and it's like, Band-Aid, stick it on there.
Yeah.
Like, hey, can we get through a couple of games with Jay Crowder as a starter? And this isn't a dig at Jay Crowder. Like, I think Jay Crowder should have been part of this team from the beginning.
I agree.
He thinks he should have been part of this team from the beginning.
He sure does.
He had a really honest conversation with media on Saturday where he just sat there and laid it out. Like, hey, I thought I was playing here. Yeah. Hey, me and Isaac Jones totally bonded. He's been texting me the whole time. Like, we've been having conversations while he's not... well, Jay Crowder's off watching basketball on the East Coast.
Yeah.
And so, like, there is this dynamic of... who are you and what do you want to be and like, what is your identity? And we keep talking about the identity. And I can agree that they need to pick an identity as either a fast-paced, you know, like high-scoring team or a defensive team, but why not both? Like, that's what good teams do in the NBA.
Sure.
They don't just load up. I mean, look at the Boston Celtics. They're number one in offense, number two in defense last year. Okay, that's a great team, and they win a championship because of it.
I think I don't disagree, but I think the problem is there's a disconnect in what Mike Brown wants and how the team is being built. And I think Doug McDermott over Jay Crowder is a perfect example of that.
Yeah.
Like that's
exactly.
Every team needs more shooting. I don't disagree. That is just correct, especially in the modern NBA where you're getting up 50 a night, or some teams are getting up 50 a night. If you're the Kings, you're getting up 34 a night. But every team needs more shooting. But for the Kings, like, not at the expense of what a guy like Jay Crowder brings. They don't have enough of all these other things that are like prerequisites to be a contender.
Yep.
And if you're throwing Doug McDermott onto the Celtics as like, hey man, if Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown aren't knocking him down on one night, or Peyton Pritchard's not knocking him down, we have this guy who can go play 10 minutes and maybe give us a couple of threes. Not, hey, if Kevin Huerter doesn't work out, we have Doug McDermott. Like, ugh.
Well, here's the problem that I have, Kyle. You could have had them both, and now you do have them both, and you didn't have to cut anybody. You could have just done that in the beginning.
And why they didn't? Anyone's guess.
Luxury tax is sitting right there. You're right at it right now.
Oh, I see.
So, like, look, at what point is it, man, like, hey, are you in or are you not? Are you in or are you not? Because as of right now, you're playing games.
Yep.
You're playing games. You're playing games where you don't sign a guy for 20 games, where you do sign a guy that didn't come in and work out for you.
Baffling. It is a baffling, baffling season for the Sacramento Kings.
Yeah. I mean, just keep going. You signed you drafted a 22-year-old player that can't play for 6 to 8 months.
Yep. Baffling. You know what's not baffling? Taking your car to Jiffy Lube ahead of the holiday driving season. That is what we're going to give you an opportunity to do on a little bit of a discount. We've got $50 Jiffy Lube gift certificates to give away. We're going to have two keywords for you, which gives you two chances to enter, and we'll pick a winner on Friday.
That's right.
So you'll have two keywords coming up that will give you two chances to enter to win a $50 Jiffy Lube gift certificate at ESPN1320.com. We'll give those away. We'll continue the Kings conversation, and we do have to talk about the 49ers after their 35-10 demolition at the hands of the Buffalo Bills. We'll dive into all of that in the second hour. That's James. I'm Kyle. We're sponsored by Jiffy Lube. This is the Insiders on ESPN 1320, Sacramento Sports Leader.